press. We got a start with them two letters, me and you. Somebody told us that the government wanna keep us broke. But the only reason why those people in the government is cause we ain't vote. And I ain't talking about the president, I'm talking about the ones we ain't know. See, they was gonna try to keep it low, but it's gonna hurt them when they see the pros.
Hey y'all, welcome back to my podcast. And as you can already see in the title, we're gonna be talking all about voting. Every 4 years, we vote for a new president, and this November is going to be no different. I'm going to need you guys to first register to vote. If you're already registered to vote, great. If not, October 9th is the deadline. After that, I'm going to need you guys to go vote. Whether you're doing mail-in voting or if you're actually going to the polling places to vote, I'm going to need you guys there. It is so, so important. But today, we're not only going to be talking about the president, because there's so many other people who hold places in office that wouldn't have been there if we wouldn't have said so. So if you want to see how you can be a part of the change in our country, stay tuned. First things first, let me give you a little bit of background information. You might have already learned this in high school, but we're going to talk about it again today. So, the government has three branches. The three branches of government are the legislative, the executive, and the judicial branch. We're first going to talk about the legislative branch. So the legislative branch is what we call Congress, and it consists of two parts, the Senate and the House of Representatives, which we're going to break down. And then on a local level, Congress in the state is called the General Assembly. So the job of the legislative branch on a national level is to make laws. They can also confirm or reject presidential nominations for the heads of federal agencies, federal judges, and the Supreme Court. And they also have the authority to declare war. An example of the job of the legislative branch would be the Supreme Court Justice who recently died. Her name was Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and the president already nominated another justice to replace her. So that's one of their jobs, to confirm or reject the presidential nomination for the federal judge. So since the president nominated her, the Senate, which is part of Congress, has to go in and have a hearing and basically see if she's worthy of that position. And after they hold the hearing, then the people in the Senate, they will vote yes, no, or sometimes some people won't vote at all. And based on the votes of the Senate, then she can be appointed as the role of a federal judge. Okay? Okay. So, like I said, the Congress has two parts, the Senate and the House of Representatives. We're first going to talk about the House of Representatives. In high school, my teacher, she told me a short way to remember it so you don't have to keep saying House of Representatives. It's just call them the horse, H-O-R-S, horse, okay? So, on a national level, the requirements to be a whore is you have to be 25 years old, a citizen for at least 7 years, and you have to be living in the state you want to represent. Now, the whores are made up of 435 elected officials who are divided among the 50 states by population. So, when I say that, I mean that you have big states and you have little states, all right? So, this is based on population. So, it's approximately about every 700,000 people consist of one whore, okay? So, when you have small states like Vermont, you may have one whore. But in California, you may have 53 whore. So, that would be 700,000 times 53. You get it? Okay. So, North Carolina, which I'm going to be talking about a lot because I live there and I know a lot of my viewers live there too. North Carolina has 13 representatives on a congressional level, and this is based on districts. And all of the 13 representatives for North Carolina, they're up for re-election in November. The whores, they serve two terms, and they're considered for re-election on every even year. So 2020, 2022, 2024, so on. That's when they're up for election. And November 3rd, you're able to elect someone from your district to represent your district in state. So, y'all, when I say district, I mean the place that you're living in North Carolina. So, for the whores on a national level, we have 13. So, you want to make sure that you know what district you're living in so that you're able to vote for the right whore, okay? A good way to look at district maps to see which district you live in and who represents you would be ballotpedia.org. That's ballotpedia.org. They have district maps. They can break it down for you and show who represents you in that district and who you can vote for, okay? So, that's on a national level. Coming back down to the local level, we're going to talk about the whores in the General Assembly. So, on a local level, Congress in the state, is called the General Assembly, like I said. In North Carolina, we have 120 whores that make up part of our General Assembly. So, they serve a two-year term as well, and all 120 of them will be up for re-election. And like I said, no, you don't have to vote for 120 of them. Look at your district maps, because they have different district maps for the 120 versus the 13. Look at your district maps and see who is up for election in your district, and you can vote for those two opposing sides, okay? Ballotpedia. I'm gonna keep saying it. Ballotpedia, they have district maps. You can go see on the national level and the local level who's in your district and who is running for the position of the whores, okay? So, the whores, their main focus is money, okay? So, they focus on creating laws to establish a state budget, which is really important. And they could also pass bills on raising or lowering taxes. So if you care anything about your money, if you're saying, dang, this is real high, this done went up. Like, that's the whores, the job of the whores. So if you want to see taxes start going down, you know, if you want to see the state budget, the state spending more money on education or stuff like that, you might want to focus on your whores in the General Assembly of your state, okay? So that's why it's important to vote. It affects your money. So now, we're going to the second part of the Congress. We're back on a national level. The second part of Congress is the Senate. The requirements of that is you have to be 30 years old, a citizen for 9 years, and a resident in the state that you want to represent. Now, the Senate has 100 people, consisting of 2 people from each state. And on November 3rd, 33 of the 100 seats will be up for re-election, okay? And they have a 6-year term. So I don't know about y'all, but you don't want the wrong person to be in office for 6 years making decisions for you, okay? For 6 years, that's a long time. For me, at least, that's a long time. So you want to make sure that you're getting out and voting, okay? For the right person, at least. When I say the right person, I mean the right person for what you believe in, okay? I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, but for if they have values that reflect you and values that you think, oh yeah, this is good, vote for that person, okay? It don't matter who you vote for, but just vote and making sure that you're knowing what the person is doing for you, okay? So, currently, Republicans, they have a majority of seats in the Senate with 53, so 53 out of 100. And our 2 senators are Republicans. Their names are Tom Tillis and Richard Burr. Tom Tillis is up for re-election against Cal Cunningham. So, Richard Burr, he's currently still in his 6-year term, but Tom Tillis, 2020, November 3rd, he's up for re-election, okay? And he's up for re-election against Cal Cunningham. And you can look at their debate, they already had one, and see how they feel on the topics of gun violence, healthcare, climate change, immigration. So just look up their debate and see their views, and based on that, you can know who you want to vote for in November, okay? So we're back on the local level, okay? Back in the General Assembly, the second part, the Senate. So, our Senate is composed of 50 people, and this is based on population. So, approximately about every 200,000 people, they make up one district, and they serve for 2 years. All 50 seats will be up for whoever you want to elect that you think is the most suitable. All 50 seats, okay? All 50 seats. And the Senate, their job is they can basically hold hearings of a state official who needs to be impeached. That's not all they do, but that's an example of some things they need to do. So they'll impeach a state official who needs to be impeached. Okay. So both the Senate and the whores in the General Assembly, they work together. Now they work together to pass bills on public matters like healthcare. If you feel like healthcare in your state could be better, that's something they do. They also do state spending levels. So they regulate state spending levels. So if you feel like there needs to be more money in the education field, then that's something that you can look into if they have those views. Or if you feel like more money needs to be put in this department and it's not being, then you can also look and see the views of the 50 people who are up for election in your district, So you can see the person in your district, what are their views and stuff like that, and vote for them based on that. And they also do the raising or lowering the taxes, okay? So If you want to know more about the Senate on the national level, the senators on the national level who represent North Carolina as a whole, you can look them up at Cal Cunningham. His website is calfornc.com, calfornc.com. If you want to look, research Tom Tillis, his is tillis.senate.gov. And if you want to see district maps, ballotpedia.org. All right, moving along. The next branch of the government is called the executive branch. Now, this is the branch that you're probably most familiar with. And this branch consists of the president, the governor, and the mayor, which we're all going to talk about. Now, the president, he's the head of the United States, the commander-in-chief, the head of the armed forces, and he's responsible for the execution and the enforcement of laws created by Congress. The president has the power to sign legislation into law or veto a bill. He conducts international relations with other nations, and he negotiates and signs treaties. So basically, things that he does is, so if Congress wants to come up with this new bill, the president can sign off on it, or he can say no to it. That's what checks and balances too, just to make sure that the legislative branch doesn't have too much power. The president does have the power to say yes or no to a bill that they want to become a law, okay? Conduct international relationships, basically meaning that, you know, he making sure that we have allies. If we ever need to go to war, we have allies. We're in good relations with other nations. And a treaty is basically an agreement between two countries, okay? So basically, the president is in charge of a lot of things that will affect us on a higher level, but a lot of stuff has to go through Congress first. Like I said, checks and balances. If you've seen the debate the other day, then you should have, it should have given you an insight on what the president wants to do for our country. So I say this very lightly because the debate, if you've seen the debate, then you already know. It was horrible. The debate was an absolute mess. It was the most political ghettoist thing I ever seen. Nobody really got to say much of anything. So unfortunately we couldn't really hear of what the two candidates for president wanted to do for us as a people and a nation, which was unfortunate. But maybe the next debate, which will be between the two vice presidents on the Democrat and the Republican side, maybe they will give us better insight on what the presidents couldn't. I mean, well, the president candidates couldn't, okay? But yeah, it was ghetto. You can look at it on YouTube or Hulu, watch it. It was actually funny. Yeah, the current president, he said some things that was kind of, you know, yikes. But, you know, I'm not going to tell y'all who to vote for. You can just do it for yourself, okay? Moving on. So, the governor. The governor is the chief executive of the state. So, of your state, you have a governor. He's basically the president of your state, okay? So, the governor is one of the 10 members of the executive branch in the state who are properly elected, which means majority rules in voting, okay? This means we vote for him and the person with the most votes win. So, because the governor has the power to appoint other department heads, it is vital that you vote for governor that shares the views that you have, okay? So, you don't want the governor to appoint people for departments like Health and Human Services that deal with foster care and Medicaid, and those people don't feel that those issues are important. So, the governor, like, you vote for him, okay? You vote for the governor, but the governor can just appoint people who don't have to be voted in. So, you want to make sure that your governor has the right political ideas that you have, okay? So, you can look at their platforms. How do they feel about this? How do they feel about this? If that matches what you match, now I don't know how to say this, but you know what I'm trying to say. So if their ideals match your ideals, or if you agree with what they're saying, then that would be the right candidate for you to choose. Okay. So the duties of the governor include making policy and budget recommendations for the state legislature, enforce laws passed by the General Assembly, and they're in charge of the state's military. So every 4 years, just like the president, they have a gubernatorial election. So, you know, the president has a presidential election. In the states, you have a gubernatorial, I might be saying that wrong, election. And that's for the election of your governor. So, concerns of governor typically includes what affects citizens' daily lives. So, their issues may reflect schools, roads, and law enforcement. These types of things, the governor would have to propose a bill to be approved by the General Assembly before it becomes a law and they can enforce. So, if the governor sees that something overall in the state is going wrong, he can propose a bill and then Congress looks at it. If Congress doesn't like the bill, it won't become a law. But if Congress does like a bill, you know, it will become law. So it's very important that you know who you're voting for with your General Assembly in your state and also for your governor, because a governor can only do so much. The General Assembly, they have a lot of say, okay? Because they do make the laws. So an example of that is COVID. So that's something we're all familiar with. And the governor, he proposed two bills for COVID relief. This is in North Carolina. So, and our governor is Roy Cooper. So in North Carolina, he proposed two bills. So one bill went to the horse and the other one went to the Senate. So the ones that went the horse, it deals with money. And it, so basically he got a lot of federal money to the state. So $50 million went to supplies for protective equipment to schools, $25 million schools and businesses, $25 million went to the support COVID testing, and $85 million was for the vaccine development antibody, and that was through a lot of schools, research programs like Duke, Chapel Hill, East Carolina, Campbell, and Wake Forest. So that's what he did with the horse, House of Representatives. He got money from the federal government, and it got sent to the state. So for the Senate, the second bill, it was things like an extension of the driver license registration expiration deadlines. So I don't know if y'all know, but if y'all go to the DMV now, you can get your driver's license without taking the road test. You can do the written test and get your driver's license. You can also have an extended thing on your tags. If your tags are expired, they now have an extended, I think it's like a 3-month period. So you can drive with expired taxes for an additional 3 months, basically. And then he also, the bill also said things like modify the integrated testing for public schools. So November 3rd is election day for you choose your governor. Now the two people who are running for governor in North Carolina are Roy Cooper and Dan Forrest. So please make sure that you research those two governors, well, those two soon-to-be governors to see their platforms and their belief systems. You can go to ballotpedia.org, like I said, or you can go to governor.nc.gov. To see the people running for governor. Now, the mayor. So the mayor, they work closely with the department to make sure your city is working smoothly. They are voted in every 2 years by the people, so we do vote them in, and they preside over city council meetings and work with the legislative body to enact laws. So the mayor is the lowest of the hierarchy of the executive in the state. They usually if you have issue within your city, you would bring it to your city council meeting, or you could write the mayor. Issues may include, you know, if you have a lot of potholes or public safety. So an example of that would be in Greenville. So I know Greenville, North Carolina, we're having a lot of issues with the police not enforcing like they're supposed to. They're basically, you know, like, doing their, how do I say this? Basically, they're not doing their job, okay? So, there'd be things like the police would shut down all the black parties, won't even bother the white parties, or, you know, police just being too rough with individuals, blah, blah, blah. So, you can take that up with your mayor, because the mayor basically runs the departments, and the mayor can go into the department, the police department, and talk to them, blah, 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 and, you know, maybe you can see some change. So, yeah, that's something the mayor would do. The mayor resides over the departments just to make sure that the mayors, they're not for the whole state, they're for cities, okay? Let me say that. They're for cities, which is good, because it's like you have president... You have the president of the whole nation, that's the president. The governor is for your state, the president of your whole state, basically. And then your mayor is the president for your city, okay? So, the mayor is more hands-on, so the mayor can get more done. And, yeah, that's why it's important to vote mayor who reflects the views that you have, okay? So do some research about your city mayor and when they are up for election. I can't really talk about the mayor because there's so many mayors. There's so many cities. But yeah, just do your research on the mayor in your particular city, okay? Now, moving on to the judicial branch, okay? Judicial branch. So, the judicial branch interprets the meaning and laws The judicial branch interprets the meaning of laws, applies laws to individual cases, and decides if a law has violated the Constitution. All right. On a national level, you have the highest court in the country, and that's the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court panel, there are 9 justices. We talked about one, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and they're appointed by the president, so they aren't really voted in. Because of that, we're not really going to talk about them. We're going to talk about the people that we can vote in. So yeah, on a more local level, there's a Supreme Court on the state's level. It consists of 7 justices, 1 being the Chief Justice, okay? On November 3rd, 3 of these justices will be up for election, including the Chief Justice seats. They serve 8-year terms. So, like I said about the senators, I think it was the senators, 8 years is a long time, okay? And they're up for election. Make sure that you're using your right to vote for these people, especially if they're in office for a minute, okay? Because, like, this is on the state's level. It's gonna affect you in some way or another. Like, if you have to go to court for something, they might be the people who you have to see, okay? So you want to make sure that you're getting the right people in there, okay? And even if it's not about you, it could be, like, another big case or something. You want to have the morally right people in that position, okay? Okay. So, their job is basically the highest level of appeals court in the state. They decide if there's an error made at trial or if the judicial interpretation was flawed. They do this without a jury, so you want to make sure that someone is in there with good morals, okay? So, district courts. They hear cases involving civil, criminal, juvenile, and magistrate matters. District courts are split into 41 districts, meaning there are 41 judges and a chief judge who's appointed by the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. That makes sense, y'all? Okay. So, civil cases include divorce, child custody, child support, and their cases involving less than $25,000. Criminal cases, the district hears criminal cases involving misdemeanors and infractions, which means no jury. Magistrate cases, they're small claims cases, $10,000 or less. This is like landlord evictions, suits for recovery of personal property, motor vehicle, mechanic, and accept the guilty. They accept, and they also can't accept guilty pleas for misdemeanors, okay? So, that's a lot. Let me just tell you why voting is important. And I'm getting this information from Kayla. I seen her post on Twitter, and it was like, why voting is important. It was like a little thread that helped me out so much because I didn't have to research it for myself. So we're just gonna go off of what she said. So why voting is important. First, it's your civic duty. I'm going to talk to the black people right now. Black people, we weren't allowed to vote until the 15th Amendment, and that was in 1869, which was 151 years ago. 151 years ago, it sounds really long, but it really won't that long if you think about it, okay? And even then, once we got the right to vote, we had obstacles placed in front of us so that we couldn't vote. Because, like, literacy tests, back then, they knew a lot of black people, they didn't get the proper schooling, or maybe they didn't get schooling at all. So they were like, okay, we're going to give you these tests. If you don't pass the test, you can't vote. It was stuff like that. It was really unfair, you know, ghetto. So, women, we couldn't vote until the 19th Amendment, and that was in 1920. Black people and women, okay? We've had a struggle with even getting the right to vote. Now that we have the right to vote, it is so necessary that you do vote. For the presidential election, that's one thing. But if you're not voting for the people in your state, the General Assembly, the legislative, executive, and the judicial branch that I just went through for your state, if you're not voting for those people, that's another thing. Okay, these are people who, their votes go by a majority rule. So when you're not voting for them, you're letting someone else make decisions for you in your state. Think about that. Anyways, back to the presidential election. Let me break it to y'all. Let me break it down to y'all of how that happens. So, they go by the total people in Congress. So, I told you, the whores, there's 435 of them. The senators, there's 100 of them all across the United States. That totals to 535 people. And then we throw in three people for Washington, D.C. because they're not a state, but we still need to count them because people still live there. That totals to 538 people, and we call those people the Electoral College. So, some states are bigger than others, like I said before. So, North Carolina, we have 13 whores, and we have two senators. Put that together, we have 15 people. So, when you vote, and you say yes, no, blah, 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 the majority of the people who voted yes for the Republican Party or no for the Democratic Party, that's who takes the 15 of the electoral, that's who takes the 15 of the electors, okay? So, if you don't vote, then that's a vote for the opposing side. I don't care what nobody says. So, if there's a majority of, let's say, Democrats, if there's a majority of Democrats who vote in the presidential election for North Carolina, then boom, you have 15 people, you have 15 from North Carolina out of 538. That's why presidents want bigger states like California. I don't really know how many California have. I think it's like 50 something. But boom, you have a bigger amount. So all the states, they equal 538. So I hope this is making sense to y'all. So North Carolina, we count for 15 of the 538. And then that follows by the population of each state. So your vote actually is counting, because if you vote in the majority number of votes are Democrat, then boom, Democrats have won North Carolina, and 15 people have went into that 538. Okay, I really hope that explained it to y'all. If not, you can honestly look up a quick YouTube video if my explanation wasn't enough, but Your vote does count. We've done all this to get here to be able to vote, and you don't even want to utilize that? Why? Like, this is your right to vote. Please, please, please utilize it. And October 9th, I don't know if I said this before, October 9th is the deadline to register to vote. I need you guys to get registered to vote, okay? Because if you don't get registered, you're not voting on a national or local level. You're not voting for nobody. Okay, so what are you doing? All right, and let me just say this. So, I already spoke about Kayla, but I'm going to speak about her one more time. So, she has this GoFundMe. You can go on her Twitter at KAYGRANDEURCEO. You can go on her Twitter, and she has a GoFundMe. So her GoFundMe is to raise money to get people to the polls, okay? So, you know, some people, you can do mail-in, but some people don't want to do mail-in. Some people want to actually go to the polls and, you know, physically vote. But some people, they live far away from those voting places. So she wants to raise, I think it's $3,000 or $5,000 for those people, which is basically $20 per person. She wants to raise money to send 150 people to go vote. I feel like that's a great thing. I've already donated. Please go look at her Twitter, get the GoFundMe, and donate some money so that you can help send people to go vote, okay? That's so great. But yeah, I really just wanted to get this information out to y'all because this information was so important. A lot of people don't know about the people on the local level. They just know about the people on the national level. They just know about the presidential. But it's really important to know about the people on the national and local level, because the president isn't the only person that you vote for. Okay, so until next time, y'all, thank you so much for tuning in to my podcast.
Every time you stay home, someone is making a decision about you. making decisions about the air you breathe, the water you drink, the food your kids eat, and how much money you bring home every 2 weeks. So every time you sit out an election, every time you don't show up because you think it doesn't matter, someone else is happy that you didn't show up so they can make that decision for you. Vote.